You are absolutely immersed into the Chaos Cast, hosted by two jerks and a dork, where we blitz on every down, seeking to get ejected for targeting, as we stiff-arm your trash fantasy football team, your only place for chaos fantasy shenanigans. I'm your host, Brad Kreger, alongside Levi Basham and John Spears. In this episode, we review a dramatic week of fantasy football, and as usual, we make fun of the losers. We look ahead to week five as bye weeks promise to shake up lineups and test managers' bench depth. Levi breaks down the computer rankings as we examine rising and falling stars. And stay tuned to the end as the mailbag turns into a gut-busting good time. Let's get into it. All right, CFL super fans, it is time to take a look back at week four of the CFL 2024 season. And I'm going to do things a little bit differently this week. Typically, we just kind of randomly go through each game until we get down to the whooping. Kind of want to invert that a little bit and start with what we're going to call the game of the week, which for the first ever game of the week is going to be the Cleveland Steamers, who took on Farewell to Hope. And man, this was the closest game of the league so far, actually beating out Levi's win over me by 6 points in week two. And oddly enough, only the third game this season decided by single digits. But Monday night did provide some drama in this one as Rob goes into the night with a lead and has Will Levis versus the Dolphins. But Levis goes down early, gets a goose, and it makes it kind of look like there that it was unlikely for Rob to hold off Tariq Hill and Devin Achane, who in the end only get John a grand total of 20 points. So this one goes down to the wire, but the Hacksaw brother holds on for a 222-218 victory. Levi, just how impressed are you by Rob's hot start this season?
I mean, it's almost as good as my start. So pretty good. Yeah, this is a pretty interesting match. I was watching this. I had my match, but I was watching this one pretty closely on Monday. It pretty much had everything. It had both sides had like major injuries that like didn't get any points. Just started the game off with an injury, and then Rob, you know, won, but like he had two players over 50 and barely won by six. So like he was very top heavy.
Yeah.
Just like brutal injury from John Rashi Rice, and then it kind of looked like John was, you know, in the driver's seat Monday night after mm-hmm. Will Levis goes down. Yeah. Having Tyreek Hill and Achane. Like you got Huntley, which is not anywhere close to Tua, but like you'd think that one of them could have like a average day, and that would have been enough.
That's it. That's all they needed. And I think that's another reason why it makes this the game of the week. I mean, if you were John, I mean, you had to feel really good going into that early in that Monday night game. John?
I'll tell you how.
Tell us about your heartburn.
I'll tell you how I feel. I'll tell you. There's a lot of great things that are with fantasy football, and it's fun. That was the worst. The worst way to lose and to watch. I'm going to pout. I don't care. like, when I lost Rashi Rice, I was like, okay, this is not good. I'm in trouble. I kind of accepted the loss. But then he lost Levis at the start of the game Monday night when I had two guys that really are elite players. You know, I didn't expect a whole lot out of them because of the injury to Tua. But it's watching four quarters of these dudes doing nothing and pouting on the sidelines and not getting – I mean, it was one of the worst games to watch in general, even if you didn't have any interest in fantasy. Yeah.
Especially since there was, like, an awesome game on the other channel.
Yeah,
it sure was.
So I was having to watch that game because of my players were playing instead of the game that was great. And then to come up 5 points short or 4 points short, whatever it was, it was just brutal. Like, it's the worst way. Like, this isn't the game of the week because it ain't like I was roaring back. And I just, Rob survived, like, with two of my best players. I mean, good. And I'm not taking anything from Rob's win. I mean, he had two epic performances out of his players. But it's just disappointing when you're watching your players So it sucked. It was terrible.
And then, like, not to, pile on, but, like, it kind of hurts you for next week, too. You got Singletary might not be playing. Neighbors got concussion. Mm-hmm. Brian Robertson's game time decision. It's, like, this week is really
hard. Like, I escaped the injury bug for the most part, and then it all hit me, you know, week four. Which, good game, Rob. You know, your team put up a bunch of points. You had some high flyers. Just brutal on my end just to watch it. Like, it sucked.
Yeah, I imagine it did. But, you know, I will say this was probably the best week of fantasy that we've had in a while. I mean, at least in terms of drama. Because the next two matchups we're going to look at, I had a hard time ranking which one was a better matchup. Because they both have, very similar to Rob and John's game, both had implications for Monday night and went down to the fourth quarter of Monday night. Nobody was... these three games we're going to look at first, none of these teams were feeling good until that final buzzer went off, pretty much. And so the next one we're going to look at will be the Intoxicated All-Stars, who took on Black Sunday. And so, you know, some cool little nuance wrinkles that kind of go in here, other storylines. But Joey and I's trade comes into play in this game as Jordan Mason puts up a big 42 points. Not to be outdone, Jameson Williams hits for a 70-yard touchdown in the third quarter, and that was pretty much lights out. I mean, I didn't at that point, you know, have it in the bag for sure, because he still had Geno Smith and David Montgomery going for the rest of that game. But really, Kenneth Walker and Jahmyr Gibbs vultured all the points there from Joe, and I survived 217 to 207. Another matchup that kept, you know, me up near little midnight to see the outcome. Levi, how'd you see it?
Yeah, like, it must have been frustrating for Joey because he was in control. This is another one where, like, Joey was in the driver's seat. Mm-hmm. It could have been better. Like, you know, if any of those he needed some of those, Kenneth Walker touchdowns to beat some hit, like Geno Smith touchdowns.
Yeah.
But, like, he was just hitting body blow, like, getting, like, inching closer and closer, and then he got ahead of you for, like, and I thought at that point it was over. Like, Jameson Williams had one target for, what was it, like...
8 yards.
Ten yards. Yeah. He had 3 points.
Yeah.
And then, bam, 70 yards. And, like, after that gets nothing. So, like, I think that's even more brutal. It's, like, just two targets from Jameson Williams and that. Another... I don't know what to... The thing is about this, too, is, like, I don't know what to do with Mark Andrews.
I'm glad I don't have to make that decision.
All right.
That hurt. But I don't think he starts another tight end, he wins that game. Like, unless he had...
Yeah.
You know, like, pick your dude.
Yeah, it's hard to pick a tight end off the waiver wire. But it's just the way it went about. It's a tough game, but, you know... That's kind of how you've been in all year. That finally went your way.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I needed this win, and I guess Joe could have said the same thing. But we're both sitting at 1-3 now, so we both needed it really.
Yeah. The ebb and flow of this game was pretty crazy. Was it the 1 o'clock games? You were thinking 300 bomb.
Oh no!
Like, and it was looking that way. Like, your team was like just banging, and then. You know, come to 4 o'clock, late in the 4 o'clock, like, oh, it looks like Joey might steal this or, you know, take it away. So it came down, and then you wheeled a touchdown in existence from J-Mo, which I guess that's what we're calling him now. Brad refuses to call him. He got him now. He gets to rename him. He does. Like a dog.
He's on his team, so I guess he gets the name.
I'm James.
It was kind of neat to see both of y'all's trades. Like, neither one of you were burned, so to speak, by the trade. It actually, it kind of came and helped Brad win, but I mean, Jordan Mason got 42 points, so kind of shook out.
Then another thing to look at is the bench. Like, Joe could have won if he, I know, like, it's unlucky that he had to make the choice of Daniel Jones on Thursday. If the Giants Cowboys game was on Sunday, you would be 0-4, like, because you'd be playing Jordan Love that point.
Joey likes his Thursday, Sunday night, Monday game guys going.
Well, I mean, like, I don't think it was a terrible play against the Cowboys. Your, like, defense hasn't been good at all.
And a lot of people made that call that game. Yeah. because of the defense and all that stuff.
Yeah. But, like, he had Xavier Worthy on the bench, got 28. Although I think he should – those points are on his bench, but I think he should be commended for benching Garrett Wilson against Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I think that was a smart play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, you know, close loss.
Yeah, just –
yeah.
Game of inches.
Yeah, so that was a 10-point game. The first one we looked at was a 4-point game. And so the next game that we're going to look at, which is another one of these with a lot of storylines, with, again, some drama, that wasn't settled until Monday night, is Amanda had Pollard and Miami's D going up against Jahmyr Gibbs and JSN for Levi. And essentially, Pollard and Gibbs kind of washed with similar scores, but JSN outscores Miami's D by 12, which was just about the difference in the final score. However, Levi, who does benefit from a recent trade to get George Pickens, gets a nice game out of this whole stack there with Fields and takes home another victory, 216 to 205 to remain undefeated. Levi, when do you think your losing streak will begin?
I'm struggling to start my team this week, so
spoiler alert.
Well, this week, there's the answer. Okay,
I've been lucky to get through a lot. I've been getting a lot of close wins. It's been going my way. I think this week I kind of let Amanda, you know, didn't start Chuba Hubbard. Like, if she did, then I would have lost. But I also kind of let her back in the game by starting Carson Steele. So, I don't think either one of us were that good off the bench or, you know, starting our lineup this week. Like, I don't know, with Carson Steele, I was like, oh, I think they're good. And I was worried about Ford up against Vegas. Like, I wasn't sure how that game was going to go.
I think Carson Steele might need to start looking at playing badminton or something.
Yeah.
Not football.
It's kind of unlucky. Well, like, he just fumbles at the beginning of the game and doesn't get a carry. And he's like, I kind of let Amanda back in the game, and they got to Monday night and it was super close. I felt okay because I had the best player Monday night between them us, so I knew Gibbs was going to get his points. I think it was whether or not the Dolphins defense versus Pollard, like, kind of,
yeah,
tugs, like, you're not going to get the full amount of points there. So I felt pretty good. And then Jaxon Smith-Njigba, but it was a little scary towards the end of the Tennessee-Miami game, because, like, Tennessee could end the game, basically, and they just, like, run it in on fourth down with Jane Pollard to get 6 points. And, like, if she hadn't had her defense, then she would have got ahead of me. And I think I would have won, like, the other game was still going, I still would have won barely, but, like, that was a scary moment.
Yeah.
Super close game. I think Amanda should start playing Chuba at some point because he's just getting so many points.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that would have won her the game. I think that was the biggest factor, that Chuba and Steele.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Her. I said before when I made the pick for you to win that Mahomes and Kelce needed to do something, and they actually did. And he still came up short. Her team just needs to get healthy. You know, she's got AJ Brown and Cooper Kupp on the sideline. You know, maybe plugging in that Chuba Hubbard, and her team's gonna be infinitely better. You know, she took her injuries early and came in a couple losses that maybe she would have squeaked out. But I think her season's definitely far from over. Get healthy, and then you're right back in the winning ways. But tough loss for Victoria's Secret.
Yes, it was. And those three matchups were settled by a combined, 24 points? So three close ones. The next matchup we're going to look at before the whooping is going to be the Houdinis, who took on Slop Nasty. You know, and this matchup really came down to Derek just getting consistent scoring across his roster as he puts up some big numbers and runs away from Jeff here in the end. Four of Derek's players exceed the 30-point mark, and he didn't really have a bad game from anybody. On the other hand, Jeff gets negative from Mike Gesicki, and he leaves 105 points on his bench that could have helped him win this one. But the Houdinis win this one easy, 256 to 212. Levi, did Jeff mismanage his lineup this week, in your opinion?
I don't think so. Like, I know there's points on it, but, like, Michael Pittman might have had a good game, but, like, he started to get it, have a good game once Richardson went down.
Yes.
So, like, right. And it's against Pittsburgh. Their defense has been great. Like, I completely understand. Christian Kirk hasn't done anything all year. Lad McConkey really hasn't done much, and it's against Kansas City. So, like, I respect those decisions. It didn't work out for him, but I think those
I got
are
you.
Crazy.
I got a follow-up question, dude. Do you think he'll ever start Mike Gesicki again?
I was assuming he already dropped him.
Let's hope. He had negative 0.8.
Yeah.
He had negative.
But to his defense, like, a lot of people were talking him up coming in. A lot of professionals were saying, you know, this is a sneaky play. Gesicki's going to have a big week. And I bought into it with my DraftKings. I plugged him in a couple lineups.
Yeah, and Burrow kept throwing to that all junior.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know who he is.
Yeah.
Like, if you told me, like, oh, Cincinnati's going to score 34 points. I get all that,
but if it were me and he did that to me, I would never pick him up again.
No, my days of taking Gesicki.
I mean, it's Mike Gesicki anyway. Come on, he's a mediocre at best tight end.
Yeah, his fate has been sealed.
Derek just didn't have a weak spot in his lineup this week. No. His lowest points was 14.4 from Kincaid. So then at 14,
that's
fine. 14 from a tight end is like it's like 25 from a running
back. Tight end points are bonus.
Like, yeah,
you can get fine. Zero and almost and win. Joey proved it.
I'll tell you, last night I had Pitts going. He hit 14 and a half. And I'm like, if he gets zero the rest of the way, I'm all right. I'm happy.
Bonus lot.
And he ended up with 24.
No whammy, no whammy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough loss for Jeff here.
Yeah.
Derek's team just performed. Like, he had a good top to bottom. You know, you usually win those weeks when you do that.
Yeah.
Now you're getting 19, 20 plus. Every
That's how you want to win. Yeah. You want all your guys to do something.
It happened against Jeff. You would beat Joey, Jeff.
Like, the only thing I'm getting a little concerned about Bijan. You know, like, he's not the first round pick that Jeff was hoping for, I think.
Probably not, but if Kirk Cousins does anything like that the rest of the season, he's going to have his opportunities, around the goal line and stuff like that.
He's
but,
the eighth. Of course, Sadisky already played. But
yeah, he did already. He's
going to be fine. I'm not worried that I saw him.
I wouldn't hit the panic button on him just yet, but
he's
two bad games.
He's still like I'm not saying he's not a startable player, but like, yeah. I don't know, would you rather have him or Derrick Henry? Derrick Henry looked like a third round pick.
But Henry, the only reason people were out on him was because of his age. Like, I don't think anyone doubted Henry could still do that in a game. I think you're like, well, he's getting to be 30 years old, whereas Bijan's young. I think Bijan is going to be in the top 10 by the end of the season. And it won't.
I think if he's in the top 10, that's still a disappointment. You kind of want him to be right there with
that's his
one, two.
Yeah, it was kind of him and McCaffrey and Breece Hall were kind of your right.
Although Breece Hall's kind of struggling.
Yeah. You could say the same about Breece Hall.
I think Saquon's probably going to be the number one running back barring injury.
And Saquon's on a bye this week.
He's on a bye this week, but
But here's the thing: Swift did this last year at Pitt at Philadelphia. He was the top three running back early in the season. And then he just, of course, Swift is not Saquon Barkley.
Yeah,
I 100% agree with that. But as the season goes on, this is when you start seeing these older running backs. They tend to taper off. These newer running backs come in and take over.
It's not just that Bijan is just that Algier is getting like a lot of carries.
He's done that since he's been there.
Though. Yeah, that I think that's what's hindering.
I would not be worried with Bijan. I think he's going to be perfectly fine. I think if anything, him having Algier is a benefit, is that he's going to keep him healthy. He's not going to miss weight. Like, where's Christian McCaffrey? I mean, do you trust him to play the rest of the year? Do you trust Saquon to make it to the year? Probably not. I mean, he's probably going to miss a couple games. Who was after Bijan? Derrick Henry. Do you think he stays healthy the whole game, whole year?
What I think is, like, while they're playing, like, maybe, yeah, Derrick Henry and Saquon are probably going to miss a couple games, but how many games when both are playing, is Bijan going to be higher than them? Probably, like not that many.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. I think there's still a lot.
I'm high on Bijan.
There's still a lot left to be.
Now, Saquon's good. Don't get me wrong. He's going to be awesome. I just worry he's going to miss time.
Mm. All right. We've kind of went long there. All good. We're going to stay tuned. We're going to go into the whooping of the week next.
All right, everybody. Here's the moment you've all been waiting for. The matchup between Lance and Jason Lorraine Faggett. Sorry, Jason, but you got whooped.
Yes, indeed. That was an absolute beatdown and an absolute abysmal performance from Jason. I mean, Breece Hall gets 5 points. Zay Flowers and Rome get 3. And only 2 of his players exceed 20. I mean, yuck. I mean, meanwhile, Lance gets huge gains from Kenneth Walker and Jaden Reed, both of whom just returned from injury. On top of that, Sam Darnold continues to impress. And then Lamb and Shahid do the rest to put a big-time whooping on Jason here, 256 to 139. Levi, are you worried about Lance's team challenging you for first place now that he's getting healthy?
It's getting a little scary. I'm not gonna lie. He's been putting up points. You know, while his team has been injured, he's just not letting up. I think I don't know. Sam Darnold's been very solid. Just the players, and then Kenneth Walker Monday night. Nobody could touch. And the Lions are a pretty good defense, or what I assumed were
supposed to be.
So, just watching Kenneth Walker just run all over is, Lance's team. And we talked about this early in the year that Lance's team's going to be good. We thought it was going to be good early, and then kind of fall apart as the season goes. Mm. But then he already got the injuries early, so he might be healthy going in late in the season.
Yeah,
and being the big threat. But just a beatdown. I feel bad for Jason. The thing is, he probably wouldn't have beat. It's very unlikely to beat 256 points anyway. And his team kind of had a bad week. So hopefully he can bounce back next week. Although he's got Barkley on a bye. I'm not concerned about Breece Hall. I think he, just a bad game against Denver.
Yeah.
So I think it's more about Lance just have really solid team.
Yeah, this is just an all systems failure, top to bottom, this whole roster. It just, that look that, Drago, when he looked at, Rocky, and he's like, he's not a man. He looked at Lance, he's like, he's a machine. And, he knew that, and you could tell through the text line, Jason knew, so. Throw in the damn towel. We were like if he could some his his cut man could throw the towel, he would have done it, conceded. You just take this, move on. Next week, burn the tape. Good win for Lance. His team's unstoppable.
Yeah, that burn the tape, that's right. And this is Lance's 7th whooping, and that moves into a tie for 4th with Rob, who also has 7. And this was the 5th time that Jason has been whooped. Tying now with John and Levi. All 3 of those and have
Lance pulled ahead on the. He's the front runner for whoopings this year. He's got 2, I
believe. Yes, that's his 2nd. And so, yeah, he is the leader in the clubhouse for.
And with the biggest
one. The whooping paddle. Yeah. So he whoops Amanda in week 2 and now pulls another one here against Jason. So, yeah.
The shaky babies. He's coming after you.
For it. I'm not gonna let him.
You're next.
I'm not gonna let him do it.
He's probably got some doll view or something somewhere. He's just
poking voodoo.
Yeah. hitting it with a little paddle before he goes to bed, putting under his pillow.
If not, we can get you one, Lance, if you need it. All right. All right. So I think we can we can put a nail in that coffin. I mean, that was a whooping. But we're gonna take a look at next week coming up next. All right, nerds, let's jump into the upcoming weekend. And we're going to start out with Black Sunday. I'm sitting at 1-3 taking on the Houdinis, who are 2-2. I am 6-2 all time versus Derek. But this one, is the one I'm concerned with. I need to steal one here, as I have basically five starters out. Four of them are on bye. Mixon is out with an injury. But I do get a good start on Thursday night with Mike Evans and Pitts both having strong performances. You know, for Derek, he had Goblin going last night, but gets under his average with 18 points. Not a terrible game. But I'm forced to play Eckler, Lockett, and Waddle off of my bench due to buys and injury. So I'm going to really need one of those guys or two to step up big. And I think for Derek, Chase Brown, Kincaid, and Brian Thomas Jr., they feel like key players in this one to me and are going to be key to Houdini's victory. But I'll bet on my roster to come out on top of the grand trophy tops, baby. I'll take Black Sunday. Okay.
Thank you, Rob. He's gonna sneak it.
Thank you, Rob.
Yeah.
Thanks for that golden nugget. Too.
His grand trophy chops. Yeah, this one's a little tough. Just because Brad got off to a really good start, especially with tight ends. But like he's having, I think Brad's having to play some players that might get some like under 10-point performances, and I think that might kill him. So I'm gonna go with Derek because it seems like his floor is going to be good. I think the running backs Jacobs and Connors are going to be good.
Yeah,
I think it is a close matchup. I'm going with Brad here with his head start. I think the game to watch is the Cincinnati Baltimore game. I think if Lamar Jackson explodes, Brad loses. If Chase explodes, Brad wins. I'm banking on Chase. Is back. He's going to be a nightmare for people week to week. So I think after this game, there's going to be two teams that are 2-3. Plus, Brad got 24 bonus points out of his tight end. So,
yeah, no, I do think this one's going to be close, but we'll see. All right, next matchup, we've got the Purple Bleeders sitting at 3-1. They're going to take on the Intoxicated All-Stars, who are 1-3. This is an important matchup for Joe. Lance and Joe are locked up all time, 4-4, head-to-head. Now, I know we've given Joe a hard time on the podcast, especially recently, and maybe for some good reasons, but let's be honest, though, and recognize that he's really been dealt a bad hand. I was just kind of mulling over it earlier. McCaffrey on the IR. Mark Andrews, a shell of himself. And he was forced to play Cade Otton this week, who got 12 points last night, which is okay for a tight end. But now Jonathan Taylor is out with an ankle injury, and David Montgomery's on a bye. All this means bring in Trey Sermon, Josh Downs, and Xavier Worthy. You know, it's probably a similar position I'm in, playing some guys you're not super confident on or with. And on top of that, more bad luck as Drake London drops a 50 bomb on Thursday night for Lance. I want to pick you, Joe, but Lance is rolling right now, and he's getting healthy while your team's on the sidelines in walking boots. Lance blows by the Intoxicated All-Stars big here.
Yeah, I think I'm inclined to go with you. It's hard to pick against Lance. I will say for the vibes reasons, not great with – I don't know how great Lance feels about that 50-point because he dropped Kirk Cousins to pick up Deshaun Watson this week.
Curious.
And I think that's the sole reason why he threw for 509 yards. So
it does mean that way.
I'm gonna be if Lance somehow ends up losing some cosmic way, I think it's because of that. Despite that, I'm going with Lance.
Yeah, it's hard to pick against Lance, even though he did that. He went against his blood.
Yeah, he dropped Kirko.
He's got to be hurt over that. And Kirk Cousins seems like he was hurt over that. Yeah, Joe, he needs an unforeseen explosion from players that, like Joshua Downs gets 39, and you know Xavier Worthy has his way with New Orleans D or with the New Orleans defense, and Jordan Love is legit. Joe can win.
Yeah,
I think this has the ingredients of a whooping, but I wouldn't be shocked if Joe, we're like, Trey Sermon, picks up Trey Sermon and gets 50?
I think if Joey wins, it's going to be his two quarterbacks have great days, although they have great matchups, and then Mason and Sermon have crazy days.
Right.
That happens, he has a chance.
Right.
Well,
No, to finish it up, Joe hit a great shot yesterday, played golf, and he's, get off of me! I feel like Joe is going to say that if he beats Lance. Get off of me!
Oh, man.
These two dudes were getting ready to hit. We're in their fairway, hitting our shot, and Joey's smiling. It was a beautiful shot. Joe, oh, this dude was in his backswing. It was funny.
Well,
I can see that.
Well, that is great, and I'm pulling for that, to be honest with you, because, you know, I'm not a big fan of Lance in his face either, so he's 3-1, and so I'm pulling for you, Joe, believe me. There's that. All right, we'll move on. The next matchup is going to be the Scoops Troop. They're also 1-3, taking on Farewell to Hope, who's right there with Derek at 2-2. Here's another situation where both teams are locked up 4-4 all time head to head. But I see a lot of question marks on both rosters in this matchup. You know, for John, Neighbors is out with a concussion. Of course, we know what happened with Rasheed Rice on the IR. And this is forcing John to play a lot like, you know, this kind of looking like a similar common theme here. He's got Tutu Atwell. He's got Xavier Leggett in his lineup, which are a couple of, you know, okay, they've had some nice moments. They look promising at times. But let's face it, those are risky plays. Also, Tariq Hill and Devin Achane have been neutered, basically, ever since Todd Tua has been out. But for Jason, Barkley and Laporta are out. And Javonte Williams and Courtin Sutton, I'd say, are also risky plays. This is going to be an ugly one. I'm going to take Jason, though, here.
Yeah, this is the, like, this is injuries versus bye week. Like, both teams are struggling to start a roster. Like, I think what's been impressive about John's team is he's had a team early in the year where I was like, that's a sweet team. Like, yeah. That spring. I'm looking at it now. I'm like,
oh, no.
God.
I know.
like it's been on both ends of the spectrum. Like, having to start, Tutu Atwell, not the worst start, but, like, if you – that's your second wide receiver. That's a problem. I think John still has a chance from, you know, Jason having so many players on bye, his best players on bye. Breece Hall is going to London. You never know what happens with those types of games.
That's a good point. Talk about that.
So I think it's kind of a coin flip. I'd be shocked if either team breaks 200. I'm going to go with Jason.
Before, John, you go on to your spiel, I want you to answer this question. Where are you at with A-Rich? You done? You've not been playing him.
No, I'm not done with him. He's become a problem. I can't drop him. And then he got hurt, and he's questionable. So it's like, I don't know. I don't know what – he's just an enigma to me right now. I don't know what to do with him.
If Brian Robinson's out, are you thinking about playing him?
I mean, Richardson's not even cleared to play.
Like, I heard that he's more likely going to play.
Between him and Charbonnet. No, I'll probably play Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton's probably the safest.
But he's playing Chicago.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what Richardson's becomes. Like, just a thorn in my side at this point, especially with all the other injuries. If I wasn't so banged up, it'd be easier to kind of, like, I'm just going to roll with him. But now I have to try to make a smarter play. I'm not out on him, but it's getting close. Definitely getting close.
Mm.
But maybe I would be if I was healthier. I don't know. He's an enigma. But as far as the matchup, I'm taking Jason. My heart, I win this game, so just don't get it mistaken. But I will pick him for the pick-ems. Going into week 4, I had the number 1 and number 2 receiver, and they both go down in the league. And Hill and Achane, I was two birds, one stone when they took out Tua. So my team is definitely banged up when I've kind of avoided it up until this week. I agree. I think Brad said this is going to be in the mud. I don't know if we'll clear 200, but may the best man win.
No, I give you credit for picking against yourself and kind of recognizing it's going to be an ugly game. And, hey, we'll see. All right, the next matchup we're going to look at is Victorious Secret at 1-3. It's going to take on Slop Nasty at 2-2. Jeff is 4-3 all time versus Amanda. And much like Joe, Amanda's also had a rash of bad luck. Cooper Kupp goes down. I noticed that Shakir is going to be out this week. AJ Brown, who's been injured, is out and on a bye. So is Pollard and Hopkins. So the byes are starting to come, guys. And when you compile that with injuries, it can get thin. In addition, though, Jeff gets 44 from Drake London and 35 from Mayfield last night. I'm going to say Jeff gets his fifth win over Amanda this week. Levi, what do you think?
Yeah, I hate to do it. I hate to go against Amanda, but I think that these points are too high. A lot of Amanda's players are on Monday, so it's going to look pretty like bad up until Monday.
Yeah.
She needs something to happen from some of these players that haven't been doing much. I would say Ayuk and Higgins.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like the 44 from Mooney and Baker getting 35, I don't know if that's enough to go by. And then Chuba, who's, I feel bad because like Chuba has been great pretty much all year, but he's going against Chicago, who's been, their defense has been so good. So I don't like the matchups for her, and she's already down by 100.
Yeah, that's tough with Bilbo Mayfield dropping 35. Daryl Mooney getting 44.
It's Bakebo, by the way.
Oh, Bakebo. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, this is, she's on a bye this week. Just, yeah. If you can get the win, get the win. If not, you just settle up, move on to next week. You know, hopefully get some of these guys back in your lineup. You're banged up. We say it every week, but I mean, it's true. It's hard to overcome some of this. But yeah, I think Slop's going to get it.
All right. So that one is down, and we'll take a look at the last matchup, which I think is the matchup of the week with 4-0. It's what Plants Crave taking on the 3-1 Cleveland Steamers. And Levi is 6-3 all time versus Rob. Like I said, this is the matchup of the week. Look, both teams have three players on a bye. Levi, at least right now, is rolling out Roshan Johnson. Is this a homer play? I don't know.
Touchdown play.
Okay, and then Rob also has Devontae Adams out with an injury. But I see Josh Allen and Derrick Henry leading Rob again to a victory in a close one. I'm taking Rob here.
Yeah, I don't blame you for picking Rob. He's got great matchups. He's got Diggs with a revenge game against Buffalo, so like I expect him to do well. You know, like I'm ecstatic that Rashad White got sick, even though he had a stupid 50-yard run that like
yeah,
that was like, that's been the majority of his rushing yards all year. So he got 16. I'm fine with that. Like that kind of, if whoever I start from the second running back gets 10-11, I mean, that's kind of like an equalizer to me. So like that's the most worry. Like I don't really have a player to fill in for the second running back with Gibbs out, but you know, with bye weeks I can fill in points elsewhere. So I'm still going with myself. It's gonna be tough to win. Yeah, I think I could do it.
Rob's gonna win because Levi's luck's eventually gonna run out.
I do tend to get wins out, you know, crazy wins from Rob out of nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's anybody's game here. I think, you know, with the Diggs, Collins, you know, you haven't been fond of it, and it's been pretty good. I think this will make it bitter, you know, sweet for Rob if he were to take you down. This is just a sheer, eventually, the axe falls on you. And I think Rob's, there's going to be no more undefeateds. This team's too... Or this league's too competitive, I think. You know, I don't think we'll see a 5-0, 6-0, anything like that. So, yeah, the Steamers take down the Giant.
All right, so our picks are down, which, by the way, up to this point through 4 weeks, John is leading in the picks. He is 12-8. Levi and I are both 11-9. So we're kind of all bunched up there. Typically, Levi runs away at some point, so we're kind of expecting that to come at some point during the season. But speaking of which, we're right smack dab in the middle of the season. It's coming up on week 5. Bye weeks are coming. We're right in the middle of the thick of things of the season where you need to start piling up wins or start thinking about the toilet bowl. But we're going to look at the rankings next in the next segment, which is going to feature Levi's power rankings now.
All right, everybody. We're going to get into the power rankings and... another good week, you know, a lot of movement with the power rankings. There's not too many breakaway teams, you know, like, although I have 4 wins, like, it's not like I have, like, a crazy amount higher than anyone. So, but we'll get into it. We'll start with the number 10, and it's the same as last week. We got the Intoxicated All-Stars with 22.95. And that puts it, so he's up, you know, 2 points from there. Not huge increase, you know. I feel like he just got on the bad side of this week. You know, he was right in the driver's seat, didn't get the win. He probably would have moved up, you know, wouldn't have been 10th if he got that win over Brad. But Joey's still last. Then we'll get to 9th, who's not that too much further away from Joey. 23.9 is Scoops Troops. Jason's had some bad luck with his injuries. Doesn't look like that's going to change much this week. I mean, like, he could definitely get the win over John, but, like, I don't foresee him scoring a lot of points. So if he wins, it may not move up much. I think Jason's just biding his time to get healthy. Which brings us to the number 8 team, Victoria's Secret. I think she was number 9 last week. Yeah. So moved up to 8 after a loss. So that's never bad. With 24.65. Yeah, it's kind of nothing too much change from Amanda. Like, still trying to get healthy. Almost got the win over me last week. Like, things go different ways. She would have got there. So I think main goal for her is getting healthy, just like with Jason, just like with Joey too. Like, Joey, these are probably the 3 most, I think, besides John, but that's just recently happened, the most injured teams right now. Number 7, we got Slop Nasty, who, you know, could be moving up, you know, having a great Thursday night performance. But Slop Nasty has 26.2, which is almost 2 points over the number 8 spot. So, and Jeff was last week. I need to start making a note of this. Jeff was 6th last week, so he moved down in the rankings to 7th. I think that's mostly because the next person got their first win. Some people moved down. So that will move to Black Sunday at number 6 with 26.5. So you're only 0.3 above Jeff, but the win, like, and your close losses have kind of kept you afloat. You've moved to, well, you started in, you started 6th with the original power rankings after week 1. And now you're back to 6, like, you. So you moved all the way down and back up. So you've been slowly getting better after the first week. Now, after this, we got, this is probably the biggest jump, is from 6 to 5. We got the Houdinis at number 5 with 29.9. So that's 3.4 points higher. So I think there's, like, a clear cut right now between the top half and the bottom half.
Clearly.
Clearly. With Derek at number 5, which makes a lot of sense. He had a great, like, great win last week. You know, scored 255 points. So the computers rewarded him. He was last week, he was 7th. So he's moved up 2 spots since then. And then we'll move to 4th, and this is probably the biggest dropper of the week. Coming at 32.7 points, Farewell to Hope, coming from 1st to 4th.
Farewell to 1st, that's what I said last week.
That's true. But, yeah, this is the power rankings I've liked you so far up until now. and the injury is probably not going to help, but right. you just got to maintain your spot. You're still, you know, almost 3 points ahead of Derek and the Houdinis. So I still like you a lot. But we'll go to three. And number three with 33.7 points is Team Purple Bleeders. I think Lance is starting to get healthy. He's been hurt and at the top, or not the very top, but like at the top half of the power rankings all year. So, yeah. Well, we've already said a lot about Lance with number three. I'm sure he's got a huge head right now.
Huge smile.
Huge and ugly.
Yeah. which leads me to number two. Good segue. Number two is with 34.55 points, Cleveland Steamers.
Hacksaw, baby.
So,
In the top six.
What is that? We'll have 10 teams.
Yeah, I mean, right now
they're all in the top 10.
Yeah, right now the computer rankings are on the Hacksaws, thinking they're both going to be in the playoffs.
We're at the Grand Trophy Tops.
Yeah, I think you just lost some points here. Yeah, wait. Jeff just jumped you.
He's at seven.
Yeah. Rob's team's been doing great. It's been staying healthy. So it's looking like the Steamers are going to be sticking around for a little while.
Dang.
Which comes first with 35.7 points. It's what Plants Crave, which, I mean, this makes the most sense because I haven't lost yet.
Right.
I haven't had the huge win yet. Last year, I think I had two whoopings by this time. Mm. This year, I'm, you know, winning a different way. Like, I'm winning close. So,
Winning in the trenches.
Stressful weeks, basically. But... to finally get rewarded by the computers, and they put me in first. So, looking pretty good. The computers tend to they pretty much like Black Sunday more than what their record is all year, and I think Lance as well. They seem to be keeping them high
for no reason.
But yeah, that'll do it for the rankings. We'll move on to any free agents. No trades this week, so no trades. But there were a lot of pickups. I think just because of the bye weeks, Philly's on bye, Detroit's on bye, Chargers are on bye, and Tennessee's on bye. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of players out. People were picking up. I know for me, like, I had to get a running back or a number two running back to start. And I kind of got punished for me. I'll start with mine, but like I knew Bijan was limited in practice, and Jonathan Taylor was limited in practice. I kind of went with the player that was starting Thursday, wouldn't have enough time. They maybe sit him, and I ended up being wrong, and Bijan was fine. So I ended up wasting, well, I don't know if I wasted $88 because Algiers fine to have on your bench, but I didn't get, I would have much rather had Trey Sermon, who Joey got for free.
I agree.
Dollar amount, big pickups. Joey got Josh Downs for $259. Didn't seem like there were any other bidders on Josh Downs. I think because of the quarterback situation is up in the air, more than likely. But I would have expected more bidders. I'm sure Joey's maybe kicking himself for spending too much, but don't blame him, because Josh Downs is a great player.
Oh, yeah.
John, you know, throwing his L's up for Tutu Atwell with the...
Gosh. Yeah, that's...
$185.
That's atrocious.
He's getting the targets.
It's all needed.
Stafford likes him. I picked up Dontavian Wicks for $123. Christian Watson's out, and seemed like Wicks is... You know, he got 14 targets last week, so he's slotted to be like a big factor in Green Bay's offense.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't necessarily need him, but I think it was a good depth play. And I think I'm going to end up starting him this week just because they're playing the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, we talked about Lance picking up Deshaun Watson. He paid money to pick up Deshaun Watson and drop Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins rewarded him with, you know, what was that, 40 points?
53.
So, Kirko's...
52.3.
Yeah.
You like that? You like that,
Lance? You like that?
Yeah, that money went straight to Kirk Cousins, by the way.
Yeah.
Waiver claim.
He's spanning that out on his plane. Yeah. Let's see. What else is there? That's pretty much for bidding, but there's some activity. What else is there? Jason picked up Jordan Whittingham. We talked about Joey getting Trey Sermon for free. Nothing.
Jason.
Like
Jason picked up a tight end. Huh.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. You got Njoku drops it. Hunter Henry. I don't know how much he paid for Hunter Henry, but it's classic Hunter Henry day.
John picks up Xavier Leggett, which, you know what, if Andy Dalton's going to be slinging it, you know, he'll be in the rotation some, so he could have a big week here and there.
$0, I'll take your risk.
Yeah, and then as we thought was the case, Jeff did drop Mike Gesicki for Pat Freiermuth, which I think is a significant upgrade.
Yeah, I would say so.
Will he be on another roster the rest of the season?
I dare someone to pick him up.
Yeah,
because I will roast them. I will. Podcast. Yeah.
I won't blame you for picking him up for free. But if you put $1 on him, I'm probably gonna laugh at you.
I'll tell you what, he's gonna have a big game.
Oh,
it's coming.
You sure?
I guarantee.
Yeah. There's gonna be some defenses just like terrible against tight ends, and nobody remembers.
All Junior just doesn't want to play that week. And like Gesicki, put your pads on.
Yeah, so that'll do it for the activity and the pickups. I kind of want to do like a little check-in. Like we've gone through the first 4 weeks. It's September's over. Who y'all think was like the big winner of the month? Like I know I got the four wins. I wouldn't say that. Maybe you could say that, but I think there's other ways to. Like I think some of the team like. For me, if the argument for me, like, I didn't win by a lot. You know, like, I took advantage of the points that I had. But, like, Lance, also, I could say Lance is the winner because he had big injuries, but
he
still
took
won.
Lance and kept winning. I get to Lance.
That's a tough pick between Lance and Levi as far because the reason why I say Levi is because he only had 687 points scored against, which... Every other team has at least 725 against. So that's almost 40 less from the second to least. For instance, I got 938 points against. That's almost 300 more. That's almost 100 points a week that I have to overcome. Yeah. Just as use as an example. So that's tough to overcome that. But Lance, I'll give you Lance 100% credit, even though he's ugly and I got a problem with his face. He has gotten through with a bad case of the injury bug and has come up looking pretty good out of it. So that's impressive. I'm gonna give a tie to Lance and Levi.
But Levi's prettier, so he gets the end.
Yeah, maybe. I'll give you that.
Thank you.
I'm saying he's
he's a much better looking man.
The tiebreaker.
Here's a scoop, though. I may have caught earlier. I think the Union Brothers are coming on next week.
Okay. Well, we'd love to have him.
Guess who's sitting next to B Rad if they can make it.
Oh, I'd love to have him.
Putting his face near you.
Right.
He's gonna be on the other side of the room. I ain't gonna look at him.
I think for that same one, like, not to say that your team's bad or anything, I think, but like, I would put that Brad being kind of, I think it's loser of the month is between Brad, Amanda, and Jason.
Yeah.
Maybe Joey as well.
Yeah,
for sure. For Brad, like he got the win. I think if you were 0-4, I think you would have been. But
yeah,
like,
I could.
You've been putting
that.
Up points. You have been taking advantage of the points. And it's just not been working out for you, but like you're not your only big injury is Mixon, so I think you're okay. I'd probably put it, but I think Joey's probably the big loser this month.
Yeah, 10th.
He ends up
in fire rankings and in the rankings. But you know what? I'm gonna say I'd give it to Amanda.
I think
she just got. What's Kansas City gonna do? She's relying on that.
I think we'll find out next month with their offense is still with Rice going out, it's up in the air. So
right, Kelsey has Xavier Worthy.
Worthy could be but it also could be Kelsey too.
It could be.
So,
but it doesn't seem like it bodes well for Mahomes.
It doesn't seem like they're going to be scoring a lot of points.
Right. You know, she's got AJ Brown and Kupp. She's hadn't had them the whole month, just about. It's a toss up there.
Yeah.
Amanda's prettier, so I would. Just give it a tiebreaker
to Joe. Yeah,
to Joe, I guess. But
that's so, that makes sense. We'll tune in. I want to try and get month by month. It's a little bit easier this week because this is all of the data we have. But we'll cut off. Starting this week, everyone. I'll keep track. Everyone's 0-0, and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah,
it's like. Somebody that's 1-3 right now has a 3-1 month. That should be recognized.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Agree.
But other than that, we'll look at who do you think has been the best fantasy player this month?
Barkley's up there. The first one I thought of.
Barkley's Henry. Yeah, Kamara.
Yeah, he had two good weeks.
Yeah. We haven't really noticed with Kamara. Kamara's been putting up good numbers, but because Kamara's been on Amanda's team, who has been winning, it hasn't happened. But he's been up there with the rest of them.
Nico Collins. Who are the top three running backs with the most touchdowns? I'll go ahead and add this in for doing that, since we're already talking about players.
Most touchdowns.
Barkley.
Nope.
Henry.
He's one.
Gibbs.
Nope.
Montgomery.
Nope.
Is Brian Robinson Jr.?
Nope.
Interesting. Touchdown. Kenneth Walker.
Nope.
He only has three, He's got four.
I think he got 1 week.
Is it just rushing touchdowns?
Just rushing
touchdowns. Not Kyron Williams.
Kyron Williams. He has a bunch.
I haven't really been following him that close.
Yeah.
And you already said the other. No. Kamara. Kamara. Henry, Kamara, and Williams, all three have five.
Yeah.
As far as reception touchdowns, it's Evans. This is before Thursday's game. Evans, did they play Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is before that. So Evans has five. Harrison and Jefferson both have four.
Evans has seven now because he had two last night.
Yeah.
And passing touchdown leaders, who do you think they are? This is before Thursday's
game. It's got to be Baker.
Yeah. He's got to be in there. Goff?
No.
Geno.
Mm-mm.
It's not Lamar. Not
Mahal. No way you would have thought this going in.
Carr?
No, it's Darnold.
Yep. Baker and Darnold are... Well, Baker's not ahead of him because he played, but they both have 11. Actually, I'll take it back. Cousins is now ahead of him. Cousins was third. He has 8. Yeah. But he had 4 last night, so he passed... He tied Baker.
And see, that's not really surprising when you think about it in a way, because all three of those guys are in their primes. They've been in the league for 3 or 4 years at least.
Darnold, those guys were being traded away as backups.
I know, but
they found the league in touchdowns.
NFL's a lot about opportunity and timing.
Sure.
And I think they found the right opportunities.
Way out. It's interesting to think that none of your elite guys that you thought would be leading the season.
You're right.
So far. Your reception yards leader, Nico Collins is first.
Mm-hmm.
Malik Nabers is second. And Chris Godwin's third.
He had kind of a mediocre week this week, but he's been good. He's been good this year.
Your rushing leaders, your top three are Henry with 480, Jordan Mason with 447, and Barkley. So there's your three with the rushing.
Yeah, that's no shock. Really,
right.
I mean, before the season, but Jordan Mason's been putting up the numbers.
Right, he's been awesome.
Yeah. And did, I do save a little bit of face. I did trade Jordan Mason before they talked about McCaffrey being out for a long period of time. Like before, when I did, because because the reason why I got rid of Mason, because I expected McCaffrey to be back after week four, and that's not happening. And yeah. So that bit me.
So yeah. Joey won the best trade of the month.
Well, yeah, he for sure. Yeah. But I mean, Jameson Williams is like, he's
not
he's wide receiver 11 right now.
Right, but he's not Jordan Mason.
He's a top 10 receiver, basically.
That's how trades work. Like with, you know, you don't have perfect information.
Right.
Yeah.
You want the least, you wanted the, you know, get the value you thought at the time was the best.
Yeah.
And Williams is like a startable player every week. Like
yeah.
He's going to be putting up.
Which you could have bought with Jordan Mason.
But I'll be honest, and I argued with these guys a couple weeks ago, pretty heated. But I'll be honest with you, I would like to have Mason this week because I had buys and Mixon's hurt, you know, and really
he would have lost last week.
Yeah.
Well, no.
No, he would have won. Yeah.
Well, I don't know who you would have benched over Jordan Mason, but
yeah.
Well, I would have played him because I had Mixon out, so yeah. I would have played him over probably
J-Mo. You would have played
him. Yeah, I would have played him over J-Mo. Yeah, I would have
won.
I would have.
Yeah.
You probably would have won two or three games.
So, yeah, I mean, that's not looking good for me early returns.
Big dumber. You big dumber.
Yeah. I think, tight end. And another thing with tight ends have been, you know, what they are. Like, the best tight end's been who?
I mean, I'll just put it to you this way. I'll just put it to you this
Goddard,
way.
Goddard, maybe, yeah.
Goddard is tight end one. But Pitts is tight end three. Now he's got a jump because he played already.
Yeah, but he's got an extra game.
But still, he had one good game and now he's tight end three.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
You got two of the top three tight ends and nobody.
I'm not bragging about it.
No, that's what
I'm just saying. Yeah.
You couldn't trade those away? Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, I could probably trade them, but I'm not getting much in return.
For me.
Yeah.
I'm not getting much in return.
You may get
it's going to be a bench player.
I give you Mostert or Roshan Johnson.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Thanks for
No, but you have to start somebody in that position. Man, and it's, you know.
You got
it's
to
important to think about that.
Get
stuff.
The best
They're going to be, like, you know, number one tight end at some point.
Yeah. I'm sure the number two or three defenses out there every week, it's whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like. I get it. It's nice to have it.
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead. Oh, I just wanted to, if y'all want to still talk about tight ends.
I'm done with tight ends.
The only thing I was going to say was a lot of the guys who we thought were like Laporta, who looked like a world beater. Of course, he's been banged up. You know, Mark Andrews, who we would have expected. Kelsey, who we'd expected a good year again. I mean, there's just a lot of them. Hawkinson has been hurt, hadn't played all year, and he's one of the top tight ends usually, or at least worth starting.
Trey McBride then?
Trey McBride's been hurt.
He's been good. He's just been hurt.
Yeah.
Like, when he plays, it's fine. It's not like, it's like 18 points, 20 points.
Kincaid, a lot of people thought he was going to explode this year. So far, he's been
Trey
mediocre.
Trey McBride's 13 tight end. Yeah, 11, 25, and 8. I mean, like.
Yeah, one good week.
It's tight end. Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, if I get over 10, it's fine.
Yeah, no, that's
no, fine.
Get 10 points.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kicker.
We'll check in later on tight ends and see how
that
changed anything.
We have a whole show dedicated to
But yeah, the last thing I wanted to go over is like, we kind of talked about this with Bijan a little bit. Like, who do you think has been the most disappointing player in September? Then I think it's kind of Bijan.
Bijan, really? Disappointing. Tariq Hill,
yeah.
Anthony Richardson.
Anthony Richardson,
He's been, of course, he got hurt.
John's whole team. Just keep naming all your players.
Chris Olave. Has he been?
No, he's been good.
He's
wide receiver 23.
Yeah, I mean
it's, say he's. How would you draft him? Third round?
Third, fourth, yeah.
I mean,
he had a 40-29. That's not terrible.
But. Yeah, it's hard to tell. I mean, it definitely hasn't been like great, but like I don't think I would lose it. His floor is very high.
Yeah, just as far as like where he drafted,
yeah,
what he getting out of him.
Really, for me, Chase, first 2 weeks was a dud. But, I mean, he's kind of made up for it, so I don't know that I'd put him high on that list.
Travis Kelce's probably on
that. Oh, he's definitely on that list. Yeah. He's very high on that list.
Yeah. I mean, A.J. Brown, he's been hurt, so he can't really – just kind of looking at each place.
C.J. Stroud started a little rocky, too.
He's Devontae been good Adams, the last couple weeks, though.
Devontae Adams has been...
Devontae Adams, I think
he's been okay.
I think he's probably the most disappointing. Like, with Hill, he has been disappointing, but it's not because of him, is the thing. Like, until he gets healthy, people are going to... He's going to be back to where he was.
So, like, Michael Pittman, he's flourishing in a good... in a backup quarterback. Of course, he's...
Well, it's Flacco, who he's better than probably... 10 of the starting
Tyler Huntley quarterbacks. Of course, he's the third string.
Yeah.
You know, their backup actually got hurt.
Yeah. And they're not to get into, like, they slotted in Huntley as if he was Tua, not that if he was Huntley. Like, they game planned him, like, they didn't make any adjustments.
And they should have.
Yes.
Clearly.
I've got two for you. Garrett Wilson.
That's a good
was
one.
Very highly ranked.
He's a second round.
Yeah,
and Travis Etienne. Neither of he's been bad. I have him in my other league, and I mean, I think his best week was kind of mediocre. You know, so he's just
yeah.
Of course, all of Jacksonville's team has been bad. That's been surprising. Caleb Williams. Maybe disappointing.
I think the expectations for him were too high.
Probably.
The people that thought he was gonna be great from the jump, they probably think he's disappointing.
Breece Hall, it's kind of been.
Breece Hall's been a little. I think they'll get to it at some point. I think the Jets have been. Weird offense. I don't think Rodgers has settled in yet.
Ayuk?
Yeah. Just the whole contract. I never was like super big on him. But yeah.
All right.
There's been some duty ones.
Well, let us know in the text line if we missed anybody. But yeah, that'll do it for the September. Well, the power rankings of September look in. We'll get to the mailbag next.
All right, guys, we're gonna jump into the mailbag. But before we do, I kind of went back week 14 and I made the all touchdown thief team. These players score touchdowns and nobody knows who they are, and they. Kill fantasy football.
This is great.
So here's A.J. Barner from Seattle scored a touchdown. Tyler Huntley from Miami, who's the third string quarterback from Miami, scored a rushing touchdown. Blake Whitehart from Cleveland scored a touchdown. D.J. Turner from Las Vegas scored a touchdown. And Trey Tucker from Las Vegas Raiders scored a touchdown. Jeremy McNichols from Washington scored two touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Hooper scored a touchdown. He's an old guy from back then. I didn't know he was still playing. Drew Ogletree from Indiana scored a touchdown. Paris Campbell, I think he's from Indianapolis Colts, wasn't he, at one point?
Yeah.
He's from Philly. He stole a touchdown. Trey Palmer, who's that guy, stole a touchdown. Dare Ogunbowale from Houston, I think he's the backup. He's probably the least. Most likely to get scores. But the captain of this team is Taysom Hill. He had two touchdowns. Go ahead and pick him up and let him ruin your week. So there was 15 total touchdowns in fantasy football scored by these nerds, and you didn't get them. So there's your all touchdown thief team.
Well done, sir.
So
I think you could add Hunter Henry to that.
I thought he could probably be playable. These guys, I think only one of them, I think Jason picked up Whitehart. somebody picked up Whitehart.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, he a bum.
Right? I watch so much football. It's kind of an embarrassing amount. You and I only know like half of half of those players.
Yeah.
DJ Turner. I don't know that one.
I don't know.
Who cares? These are the guys that ruin fantasy football. you know, or maybe help you if you had the other guy, you know, you're playing against the main guy and these guys. But yeah, that's your all touchdown feed for week four. From week four. All right, we're going to jump into the questions. I'll start out with Luke's question. He wrote in, is Amanda the league bully because she's insecure about her fantasy football team? And is Levi the accomplice in her crime of a fantasy football team? He's made an enemy.
Maybe she's worried. I think he's been paying too much about Amanda, not about his Buffalo Bills, who got ran all over.
Yeah, he did. I watched him watch that game.
He sure did.
He's a fan. The ebb and flow of him getting excited, thinking they had a chance, and then that come crashing down.
No,
it was crazy.
I don't think I'm an accomplice to bully, whatever that means.
And you're the guy that stands behind the bully. It's like, get him.
I'll be that guy.
Okay. But I guess that's what he's asking.
But I don't think I have been.
Okay. Fair enough. All right, let's jump into the mailbag. From Jeffrey Kelly. Are Ural's vicious attacks on Lance actually just jealousy that he's consistently a way better fantasy manager than you all? I'm going to direct this to Brad. Because I don't think I've defended Lance for anything.
The answer is yes.
What? That you're scared?
That you're jealous?
Or you're jealous?
Yes, I'm jealous.
I mean, he does have a 3-1
football team. Like a jilted lover. Like, Lance chose Jeff at the dance. Yeah. And then Biff went outside waiting for Marty.
Get your damn hands off.
We know how this story is, Levi. Brad's on the ground. And Lance running off with the girl. Mm-hmm. All right. Derek wrote, nobody is attacking Lance other than Brad. I don't know. And that doesn't really count because no one cares about what Brad says. Lance is a sweet pup and the only one that's kept up with me over the years. So I feel like when Marty opens the door, he's going to see Jeff and Lance in the car. Or Jeff and, yeah, Lance in the car. Did I get that right?
I don't know.
He did now.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, anyway, Derek and Lance are in the car, not Jeff and Lance.
From what I'm hearing, a lot of people are wanting to be in that car.
I'm mixing metaphors, but yeah, it's Jeff and Lance is the alliance. But I feel like Derek's defending Lance. That he's gonna go out to the car and he's gonna see whoever in there with Lance.
I don't know. Derek's trying to get in between that alliance somehow. Good luck. They seem pretty rock solid to me.
Oh, they're pretty progressive. So we'll see. All right. Jeff wrote back. I thought John had chimed in. No, I defended Lance. Get it right. Either way, I'm sure there's some backroom chitty chat where they attack him out of jealousy. No one cares about your playoff appearance run, Derek. You and your team sucks. Jeff also wrote, which would you rather have? Fagot's team or a perm mullet that would regrow as soon as you tried to cut it off?
Well, I think Jason's team is going to get better. Jason's team.
Those are high stakes.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to take Jason's team.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather suck it.
Or the
chance of sucking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Derek wrote, there's plenty of chitty chat about one of the union bros being awful, but it ain't Lance. Ooh, maybe he is trying to put a wedge in there.
Maybe, yeah.
Like Days of Our Lives in the chat.
Hmm.
Rob wrote, good one, Jeff.
There's the... That's what Luke was saying.
This is Rob trying to stand by. Yeah, good one. Get him.
Which, you know, good on Rob.
Rob keeps forgetting that he has another alliance mate.
Yeah.
Like, you should crap on all of them. Jeff wrote in, why does Levi's computer model love Brad so much when no one else does?
I think it feels sorry for him. I'm not sure.
Whoa.
I think the reason for that is because computers deal with facts and numbers and statistics, which are irrefutable. Next question.
What do you say? It didn't matter.
Next question.
All right. Rob wrote in, why does my IQ drop when John speaks on the
block? Oh, man.
Wow, that was... That's,
whoa, that was below the belt.
Cut.
Who said that?
Rob.
Oh.
That's the funniest thing he said in months.
Well, you know, John, I have to say, after last week and after going back and listening to the podcast, you probably deserve that one. Oh, you were... Yeah. Don't shake your head at me, boy.
I'm eating a breadstick.
I know you're eating a breadstick, but you're about to also listen while you're doing that. Is that you came across as a big-time jerk.
Rob wrote in, does Levi message his team, massage his team's hamstrings every week to keep winning?
I would have if I could. But it's just winning.
You didn't have to offer that up.
No,
you could have just said,
"Look, I'm the one that's trying to get a win out any way possible, and I feel like some of y'all are."
Where do you draw the line?
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Where do you draw the line, Levi? At a massage?
I'm going for another ring, John. Apparently, you don't. This is why you haven't got your.
Very politically correct answer.
I'll be a ringless mofo. If it means that I could walk out at the end of my retirement ceremony and be like, I touched nobody's leg. One, hey. Two, or three. But I'm asking you, where do you draw the line? Like, what would you do to get a win?
Like, I don't know. That's a strange question.
I didn't ask
it. It's a sadistic question.
It's a strange.
Okay.
Like, I have the most championships, so there you go.
So this guy's all right. Derek sent in this video. I don't know what it is, but I'm gonna play it. Okay.
Kind of going at it halfway. It's like a half-assed gig
there. You're so awful, but I still like you. Okay.
Tag your trash friends and send it to them.
Okay. Well done. I think Rob's dig was way more serious, way more hilarious because he went all the way.
He did. All right, Joey wrote in a mailbag question. Is Lance able to walk with Jeff and Derek on his nuts?
What?
Joey just threw a dart. He did not send that with the other group name. He sent that separate. Then he put LOL after it.
Yeah.
I don't think it needed an LOL. I think he meant it was serious. So the question's for Lance, really. Lance, are you able to walk with Jeff and Derek on your nuts? If he comes next week.
Yeah, I was going to say, he may have his opportunity next week if he's man enough.
Joe, you sent it a week early. I would see that that's probably pretty difficult. If Lance gets around, I've seen the moves.
There's somebody to do it.
Yeah, if there was one guy that I thought was able to do it, it's Lance.
Good one, Joe.
That was good questions, everybody.
So the question we had earlier: how do you pluralize beef? Like, if I said, "Hey, I'm going up to Arby's to grab some roast beef sandwiches," how would you say that, like, plural? If I said, "Hey, I'm gonna go grab some roast beefs,"
no, it's beef.
It's just beef.
It's roast beef.
Yeah, roast beef. Yeah, there's that. Yeah.
So Jeff was like, "Have him grab us," or Derek, I think, was like, "Grab some roast beefs." Jeff was appalled.
that sounds like Jeff.
Yeah, he was like, "No, it's roast beef sandwiches." And Derek was like, No, grab some roast beef. Where do y'all fall on that? I guess it's...
That's idiocy. There's no such thing as roast beefs.
But that's the sandwich at Arby's. Yeah, grab me a roast beef. I'll say that.
Yeah. Roast beef.
A roast beef. If you wanted two, how would you say it?
Give me two roast beef sandwiches. I would not say
you would add two roast sandwiches. Beef.
You'd have to add the sandwiches.
Yeah.
Because there are sandwiches. If it's not just the roast beef that you're getting, it's sandwiches.
But you would say, grab me a roast beef. Like, you one sandwich, grab me a roast beef. Say, hey, what kind of sandwich do you want? What would you say?
Roast beef.
If I said, hey, I'm going to grab you two sandwiches, what would you say?
Give me roast beef, I guess.
Like, you want roast beef? Roast beefs?
I would never say roast beef.
Jeff was taken back by it.
I mean, it makes sense. I would, but it's not grammatically. I feel like Jeff's being, a grammar.
Yeah, I think now, now that I'm thinking about it, Derek was just trying to speak in shorthand. Give me two roast beefs. You know what I mean? The same. You know what?
Would you be shocked if someone said that to you? Like, would you correct them?
No, if he said, grab me two roast beefs, I would have you two roast beef
sandwiches. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I would assume
that I would understand what was going on.
So you wouldn't have been like corrective.
Right.
Like, no, they're sandwiches.
Yeah, I think that now I'm thinking, I think Jeff was being a little petty.
So you think Jeff escalated it?
Yes.
For no reason.
I mean,
It's probably worth a comment or a note. You know, hey, that's not proper English, but. That's still kind of a lame move, though. You know what I meant. Jeff? It's like, you know what I meant, bro. You know what I mean?
But do you think, is it lame that Derek shot back? Like, no, it's roast beefs.
Yeah. I think it's childish. Churlish.
Churlish, okay.
Yeah.
The other question...
The appropriate answer is like, whatever. Like, who cares? You understood what I said.
Right.
Right.
So they're both being childish.
Churlish.
Churlish.
Everyone kind of knew what was going to... Okay.
Yeah.
This came up in another text thread. I'll leave his name out of it. He sent a... What would you say if you're crapping on women? How do you say that? Like, you're being...
Misogynistic?
Right. Mm-hmm. A person sent a misogynistic text into an all-male group text, which is titled The Primary Nerd Herd, by the way. And one of the people in that thread said, hey, I noticed that you sent it here with all the men. Why didn't you send it to the other one? And they called him a coward, basically. Which, in my mind, I thought it's kind of brave to do, because he knew that in this text thread of all males was nothing but a bunch of tattletellers,
mm-hmm.
right? So it came up again, grammar, Jeff, again. How do you pluralize a tattletale?
Beta males is what I'm reminded of right now.
If you said, hey, there's beta. A room. If you walked into a room and you knew all three of these dudes, Jeff, Derek, and Rob, or tattletales. Like, if you told them something, they would tattle on you.
Then they need to go to the girls' bathroom.
How would you pluralize?
They squat them? When they pee.
I would probably say tattletales, but the correct thing is probably tattletellers.
They're tattletellers.
Yeah, but I would probably say tattletales.
Like, there's three tattletales in there?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where I was leaning with that.
Because they're it's not like they have tails, they're telling tales.
They're tattling.
Yeah.
You're right. Okay. So, but part B of that question is, should one of those people tattle on him for doing that?
I feel like you might have... Well, that person hasn't been said.
I haven't said
who it is. You haven't said who it is.
No.
But that's going to... I think you might be, like, conjuring tattletaling from this.
No, because it was brought up. It was brought up by someone else. They said they almost did tattletale on him and take a screenshot of it and send it to where all the women were.
Hmm.
But he didn't, because he felt that was all men in this group. That this should be a safe space to do that. to be misogynistic.
To be misogynistic.
Right.
I don't... I...
Would you tattle? And if that person did tattle, would you think less of them for doing it?
It's so tough. I don't. I probably wouldn't.
I'll tell you what. I'm gonna show Brad the text.
I don't think I'm fully understanding the context.
You're right. I'm gonna show.
I really don't.
This was sent,
yeah. You're out of them.
Yeah. So I don't even want to answer.
This was sent in the all male text thread by a certain someone.
Okay.
Do you get it?
Yeah.
It's assuming that men have a head start over women.
Oh, I guess.
And then the woman sees that and is like, no, we're going to start the same place. And then it turns out.
Yeah. Okay. Is that misogynistic? Is that what you're asking? Is that the question?
I'm asking that what would you think? Should that person be tattled on for doing that? Or would you think less of the tattle teller?
I don't have a strong opinion. I really don't give two pieces of crap about this whole ordeal. I'm struggling to even come up with something.
I would not think less of the tattle teller, but I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to put that on. I wouldn't want to risk someone making a judgment about that person who sent the meme. Right. So you get what I mean?
You're trying not to will it into existence.
Correct.
I got you. All right. I'm starting with funny.
I'm ignoring it.
Okay.
And
in a room full of tattletellers, they've chosen not to tattletale. So far.
Okay. I feel like that might change after this episode comes out.
Very well could. Yeah. We're not trying to will it into existence, but it'd be funny if it did.
Well, I hope the audience got something out of that, because I sure do.
You seem lost.
Yeah, I really am perplexed. Yeah, but that's okay. That's all. We can move on.
Right. Yeah, that's the last question that I have.
There's one thing I want to say about just... you remember the beginning of the year, first couple weeks, the touchdowns have been down. This last week, it seemed like they're back up. Like, do you think that was more of a... and Thursday being like an amazing touchdown oriented game, do you think that's gonna keep going, or are we gonna go?
Well, 15 of them were taken by these jerks, you know, the all thief team. Like,
yeah.
So it was, for fantasy purposes, it was irrelevant and an uptick, I guess, because I mean, 15 touchdowns is quite a bit. That don't include the touchdowns. What was it, the Atlanta game?
Which Atlanta game?
They didn't score a touchdown, but they had 26 points. So I think they ran one. It was a kick return that fumbled, and they scored on the fumble, and they had four extra points.
I feel like that week four is increased touchdowns increased.
Right.
First 3 weeks seems like that. We had 3 weeks of preseason. We had 3 weeks regular season. I feel like that's the full preseason, maybe.
Right.
Like, are we back? Are we in the regular season now?
I don't think it'll drastically increase. I don't think so. I think you'll have some
up and downs. Well, you know, I'm thinking of one thing that comes to mind. I think, Levi, you mentioned it early in the podcast about how we've got some really good, strong offenses on a bye this week. That's not going to be super helpful for this week.
And, you know, we'll have bye weeks, you know, for the rest of the year.
I mean, we got the Panthers and the Bears playing. You think, how many touchdowns do you think is going to be in that one? The Dolphins and the Patriots.
Those are low.
Browns and Washington. I mean, Washington. Browns has a good defense. The Colts and Jags. Who thinks there's going to be a lot of? I don't know.
I don't think the Colts and Jags have good defenses. I think that could be high scoring.
It could be Raiders Broncos. The over under is 36.
I think Steelers Cowboys could be high scoring.
That'd be a good one.
Could be.
That's a Sunday night game too.
Yeah,
that could be.
Chiefs Saints should have some points.
Niners Cardinals probably good.
Yeah, that should have. It's a 50 over under, so that's one of the higher over unders. Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I'm not. I wouldn't say I'm optimistic that we're going to see a resurgence. I mean, I'd say at this point, as low as it's been, yeah, it's probably going to increase just because it's super low. So, but I don't know that. I don't know. It looks like it may just be one of those years where, you know, you're having some transition with some young quarterbacks and other players, and there's just not going to be a lot of points. I don't know. Defenses are starting out pretty good too. It's tough. It's tough to say.
Something to watch out for.
I hope so. I want to see. I told John on the way over here. I said I would love it if just about every game was like last night. Football would be. I already love football, but how much better it would be. Just want to see teams go up and down the field and good plays, and you know, it's boring to watch penalties and, you know, negative plays and punts, and you know what I mean, like it's just been too much of that. So
less Tennessee, Miami, more Atlanta, Tampa Bay.
Before we take off, I did want to mention we talked about earlier, just talking about some legacy statistics. And in particular, we were talking about Lance. He is actually he's got 44 wins, which is the most all time in the CFL. Followed closely behind by Derek with 42 wins, and then Joe has 40. from there, John, Amanda, and myself have 38. Jason is alone with 37, and then Rob, Jeff, and Levi are all tied with 36 wins. So there's your distribution, anywhere from 36 to 44. Lance is kind of, you know, he's two wins ahead of Derek there. And then we've got a little mixture in the middle with John, Amanda, and myself with 38. So pretty good distribution, relatively close. And, you know, Levi was, I mean, just a year and a half ago, you were in the cellar there, and you really – I mean, you're still at the bottom, but you're right there with Jason, and you're right there with three others.
I'm coming for y'all.
And you're only two wins behind me and John. So, you know, well done. You've made a nice little comeback in the legacy statistics. And Lance, like I said, Lance and Derek have the most wins. So, and Joe's right there. And as much as we've given him crap, Joe's third in all-time wins. So, good on you, Joe. But other than that, anything else for the mailbag? All right. I guess that'll be a wrap. All right, Chaos Fantasy Geeks. We're through week four, and teams are beginning to jostle for position, ultimately to fight for a seat in the playoffs. Week four brought us some tight matchups that went down to the wire, and this week features some very important matchups as teams in the cellar become desperate for a win and front runners looking to protect their coveted positions at the grand trophy tops. But in the meantime, set your lineup, put a helmet on, and always remember that nobody cares about your crappy fantasy football team.